We are recording. Hi, my name is Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. This is Zen Talk number 78, maybe something like that. And I want to say hi to everybody. Hi to Anita. Hi to Millie. Hi to Dawn, Kristen, Emily, Sean, Shirley, Nikki, Jolene, Lisa, Mary Jo, Kimberly, and C. Weiss, which I think is Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right? So I have one question, but
I have stuff I want to share too to start.
Kathy has some things that she wants to share, and so do I, for that matter. But if you guys feel like it, just type into the group chat and give me a 1 through 5. 1 means that everything's chill and you're dealing with this beautifully.
Everything's normal.
5 means you're ready to pull your hair out because this is nuts and you need support immediately.
Which way though? 5 is good or 5 is not good?
1 is chill, everything's fine. 5 means DEFCON 4 or DEFCON 5. Millie's at DEFCON 5. Oh my goodness gracious. We got to talk to Millie.
We got some 4s. Anita's a
4.
We got some 3s. 3.5. Can I write 4 all over the map? Yeah, that's kind of where I am, Don.
So real quick. So there's some new people that joined us because we did some quick promo thing. And so first I want to talk to Team Zen members that have been around for a while. So just so you guys know, if money is a problem, let me know and I'm going to refund you the $25 if you need it. And then for that month, and if you need me to refund it next month, then I'll do it next month. So that is for any Team Zen members. Kathy and I don't do this to make to get rich. We do it as an exchange, but these are weird times. And if you
just may need a month off.
Just let us know. Stay on the team, and I'll just refund it through the website. For the new Team Zen members, this is a very informal thing. So sometimes Team Zen members are shy, and they don't want to jump in. I encourage you to jump in. So there's a few different ways you can communicate with me. You can literally raise your hand and I could see your hand raised saying, hey, I'd like to ask a question. Or you could type in the group chat or you can actually put your cursor in your box that you see yourself on. And there's 3 dots in the upper right hand corner and you can say raise hand, I think. So with that, we're going to get started. And what do you want to start with, my darling?
All right. So hi, everybody. So for, you know, people who are on Team Zen all the time, it's good to see your faces. For people who aren't normally here, thank you for joining us, only because it's virtual community is really important right now. And I think you guys know that. Like this, I wanted to kind of share a few things that have been helpful to me during this, you know, shelter in place. And hopefully, you know, I'll share them. They'll continue to evolve. And then if you guys have any ideas or things that have been helpful to you, let me know. But I'm trying to come up with an acronym for these, but it's just too hard because there's not enough vowels. There's too many synonyms, or not synonyms, there's too many consonants. But the first thing, and some of these are going to sound silly, but I want you to
let's hear it.
Consider
I love
them.
Silly.
The first one is, are you guys still drinking water? And I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes when we're in, that's not water, that's a smoothie.
There's water in this though.
Make sure that when you're getting up in the morning and at night that you're drinking water regularly. And I think when we get out of routines, those are the kind of things that we forget. And water is, it keeps us healthy. Water keeps us calm. Water is what our body needs to continue moving. And again, I know you guys know this. I'm not being a nutritionist about this. Are water people nutritionists?
Yeah. If you speak about water, you're a nutritionist.
I'm just saying drink water. The second thing is that sleep. I've said this before, but let your kids sleep. If they have to get up for e-learning at a certain time, totally get it. And you have to do that starting next week. We have to do that. This is our spring break for our district. So our kids are still sleeping, but it's super important for you and for them. So if they're sleeping a little bit later, then you get to sleep a little bit later. I think that when we are emotionally going overtime with uncertainty, that sleep is more necessary than it was before. So if we can just tack on an hour, or if we can take naps during the day when our kids are busy, or if we can lay on the grass outside in our yard, we're getting there. Spring is coming to Chicago. It snowed 2 days ago, but it's pretty nice today. The other things are you moving? You don't have to put in an exercise, you know, room. Are you taking a walk? Are you doing a little bit of yoga? Skylar and I do jumping jacks every day. are you moving because we're going to become very, what's the word, sedentary? Sedentary?
Yeah, sedentary.
Whatever that word is. Right. I'm making it up. But it's, again, why I'm saying these things is not because it's brain science or anything, but because these are the things we forget when we get out of a routine. It's just to move. Even if it's just 50 jumping jacks a day, you don't have to get a new exercise routine or get a Peloton bike. Just chill and just move a little bit. That's all. Just move. The next one is this, what we're doing. Connect with someone, if possible, every day. If it's your, you know, your parent or obviously the people you are, you know, sheltering in place with.
Right.
You know, maybe planning a movie.
Are you saying outside of the people that you're living with?
Well, both. I mean, some people are really going to their own rooms mm-hmm. and not seeing each other during the day. I'm hearing a lot of different stories. But, you know, I have made sure that I call my mom most days, that I'm, you know, texting with friends, but I think face-to-face FaceTiming is better because then we see our humanness. I think that's what we're seeing on walks, is being able to wave to people. I told Todd, this is like a total introvert's dream, because Todd and I went for a walk yesterday and I waved to people, but nobody comes over and talks to me, and it's perfect because they're not supposed to, you know? So it's like, I get to just wave and be friendly without any expectation, which is like my dream. And then the two last things, have some humor in your day, you guys, if it be starting a new comedy show or calling somebody. That's not funny.
No, it's not.
But, you know, calling someone that makes you laugh or reading memes, it's okay to laugh right now. Not only is it okay, it's healthy and necessary. You can balance the seriousness of the crisis we're in with finding some spaces to escape and laugh and swear and do all those things. And then once you can do those things, then you can read some things and educate yourself about what's going on. Things change every day. Some of the articles are crazy and some of the articles are factual. You have to figure out for yourself. I highly recommend New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, have been pretty consistent and factual, but not all their articles. Some of their articles are opinion pieces and I'm like, no, thank you. Be thoughtful about how you educate yourself. But all those other things I'm saying, connect, humor, water, you know, moving, those things first.
Hold on. Our internet connection is unstable.
Is everybody streaming right now?
I told Skylar to not stream, and the girls are watching a movie downstairs.
All right. So that's it. And I'm sure there's a million other things, and you guys probably have your own ways. These are just like reminders. Sometimes even if you make, I haven't done this yet, but Todd has all these big pads of paper from his tribe retreats. And I'm going to bring one up here and just kind of write these things so the girls remember. Mm-hmm. They've been pretty good. But it's like family remembering, just, have you had water today? Have you moved today? And then it doesn't have to be me constantly on people's case. It's like on a, you know, on a big piece of paper on the wall. And those are simple things. It's not, you know, it's not, did you do 3 pages of homework and have you read a new book? It's like basics. Okay.
So I have a few questions, but I had a few things I want to share. One is kind of sad, but heartwarming at the same time. Uh-huh. I'm going to start with the kind of the sad one, but also inspiring. There was a priest, I think he's from Italy.
Uh-huh. Italian priest.
Suffering from the coronavirus. He gave up his ventilator to give to a younger patient and he died. His name was Don Giuseppe Berardelli. He was 72 years old from Bergamo. So I just think that that's, I don't know, like we're all like, oh, it's a dog eat dog world.
It's not.
This guy is exemplifying that you can just give.
Well, and it's not a dog eat dog world. Like I was telling Todd yesterday that one of the most interesting things about empathy is that when we say things like stay away from other people because then you won't get sick, we're not quick to react. But when we say stay away from people because other people might get sick because of you, we're much quicker to react, which means that we're hardwired for this empathetic experience. We are hardwired to think about other people sometimes before ourselves. That is what our mirror neurons do, is they experience other people's pain and then we feel it for ourselves and then we're more quick to react. And so I know, I've read enough stories and seen enough craziness in my own town that people are still gathering and still having people over to their homes and they're not following what they're supposed to be doing. We can bitch and moan about those people as much as we want, but really we just need to focus on what we're doing and continue to be communicate why we're doing what we're doing, but not in a judgmental, angry fashion, but in a please listen kind of fashion. I've gotten more emails and texts and things asking me, Kathy, are you really doing this? Are we really doing this? Yes, we're really doing this. We are in our house. One child is upstairs, two are downstairs. Nobody has been in our house for 9 days.
Yeah.
10 days since, you know, we are really doing this. And, you know, it feels like a lot of people kind of want to make different rules. And this is what the state is telling us to do. So I'm following.
The other bit of, so I got this from the Good newsletter. Maybe Millie's good at providing links. They actually sponsored our conference one time. It's some guy who has an electronic and physical newsletter.
Good newspaper.
And I just got this from him this morning. An Ohio animal shelter cleared out after dozens of local families adopt foster during COVID-19. If you walk into the Animal Friends Humane Society in Hamilton, expect to see it nearly empty. The Humane Society posted on Facebook on Monday saying it was urgent need of people to adopt and foster animals in the midst of the pandemic. On Thursday, the Humane Society posted an update saying that in just 4 days, with the exception of 3 dogs.
Oh, I want to get those.
And 5 dogs housed in the stray dog wing, the shelter has been cleared out. So anyways, that's awesome. Yeah. So I know that there's people out there that have questions or want support. I'm going to start with this easy one. And then you guys type in the chat box or raise your hand so I could see that you want support or ask a question. I feel like we've kind of talked about this in a previous podcast or Zen Talk, but I'm going to say it anyways. Hi, Kathy Todd. I've been feeling a lot of ups and downs. Safer at home has gotten...
Maybe leave out names.
Okay. Safer at home has gotten the best of me. My daughter's starting to feel and say that she's scared and worried. She asks why we have to do this when she didn't do anything wrong. I don't know how old she... Okay, so I try to explain things to her in a factual way. However, I find that a lot of this is difficult for a six-year-old to fully comprehend. I don't know if the more I tell her, the more worried she might get. I'm finding myself trying to say positive things, but sometimes I fail and start to incoherently and emotionally explain what's going on to her. Is this from Emily?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it. Sorry about that. But Emily actually, so I screwed up. Emily said that she heard the answer on a podcast. So I'm asking the wrong question. So forget the last 30 seconds. This is the question I want to ask.
Okay.
Now that I am home with my boys indefinitely, I would like to expose them to things that I feel are good life skills and self-care practices, hopefully on a daily basis. I'm also trying to keep some sort of schedule regarding their e-learning, mealtimes, video games, phones use, etc. How can I go about accomplishing this to some degree without causing frustration on both parties, meaning between me and my kid's husband? I have high hopes, but trying to also maintain low expectations. How are you both handling this? I think that's a question we probably all have. This is a balance. And I think I might look at this differently if we're cooped up 2 weeks from now. But the way Kathy and I have handled this is drink water, go on a walk, and maybe read a little bit at night. But other than that, the day is yours. So we are letting them do whatever they want. And what that means...
And again, they're not e-learning yet. So you guys know, they start next week.
That has not yet begun. So for last week and this week, which is our spring break, they're just watching a ton of screens, and we're okay with that. And whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. That's the way we've decided to handle it.
Well, and also, like, in the midst of that, we have a show that we're watching as a family. My daughter last night had her virtual call with all of her friends, 2 different virtual calls. My other daughter's been FaceTiming with one of her best friends who lives in Chicago. Like, it's not just they're glued to a screen all day. That is the majority, is we're there. Like, right now, my floor is vibrating because the girls are watching Infinity War downstairs. They're so into Marvel on this whole thing. They're watching all the Marvel movies. So I can feel the floor vibrating. Infinity War is so violent, but that's a whole nother topic. I guess my point is that I think that your schedule, I think what we will find ourselves doing, and this will be in reflection, is that we say, okay, it's a different time, so I'm going to do different things. But really, we're doing the exact same things we used to do around schoolwork, and trying to impose it on feel-good stuff or homebound stuff. And I understand wanting to maintain a schedule because it does carry a sense of normalcy and structure, and you know best regarding the age of your kids whether or not they need some sort of wake up. And obviously for little kids, they need to go to bed at a certain time. I totally get that kind of structure. But I don't think we should use this time to impose new things on our kids. I think that we can introduce new things to our kids, and we can show them the books we're reading, or watch, you know, put a documentary on, or share something through text if we have kids old enough to, you know, to share text with and say, this is what I'm doing. I think the problem is if we try and use our old tactics around education of like, this is what you need to do, and here's the day, and here's the structure, and impose it on something like this, you are going to get pushback. Because right now the kids, and I know it's only been 9 days, but, or for some of them, they may not be afraid enough, or, you know, but it's a lot for them already. They're already doing a lot of inner work. You can have some expectation, meaning there are certain things in the house now that you're all in the house. Here's everybody's, you know, jobs for the day. Don't call them chores, you know, try and use words that are a little less like, you know, like, you know, the girl, like some of the things that I've said to the girls about maintaining their bathroom now that they're here all the time and doing their own laundry, like they can have responsibility in the home without trying to be their teacher all day long. This is a really, like, I know that I would be saying different things if this wasn't going on. And I think what we have to kind of get through our heads is this is not a normal time. So trying to impose the things we were doing 2 weeks ago on now doesn't fit. It's like a square peg in a round hole. We can develop a new structure, but have more basic, how do I want to say this, like humanity-based things that we're doing to maintain a sense of emotional stability and connection. And it's not going to go great all the time. Like it's not, these are, when you start something new, when there's new things happening, you're going to be confronted by challenges and fear and some days pain and some days overwhelm. And I want to normalize that for all of you. If you are like, you know, for those of you who are at a 5 or at a 6, yes, you know, what can you do to, you know, to handle that? Maybe put less pressure on yourself. Hold on. It says
internet is unstable. Hang on. Try again.
Maybe put less pressure on yourself to maintain what you were maintaining before and let go a little bit. And I think as parents, we sometimes think we're controlling everything and that if we let go of one thing, everything will fall apart. And that's not always true. Sometimes our kids come up with things that are really interesting. And sometimes we find new ways to connect just based on chilling out rather than homework time and structured time. And we're like finding a new equilibrium here. We're finding a new way to be in the world. And honestly, I don't want to jump too far ahead. I don't want a spiritual bypass and like jump over all these experiences we need to have in the next couple of weeks. But I think in the long run, we're going to have a lot to learn from this time, which is we need to slow the F down a little bit. I think what we've been running as, you know, as Todd, you know, we talked about last time, like Energizer Bunnies trying to be in a race to nowhere. And right now is a time to really feel what we're feeling, come up with new ways to connect, drink water. It's really salt of the earth, basic stuff. But that doesn't mean it's without challenge. So I'm trying to, you know, walk both sides here where I'm not saying all the things I'm saying right now are going to make your lives perfect. I'm saying that the more we can decrease our anxiety, the more our anxiety that our kids feel will be decreased.
So okay. Two things. One is, it's funny because this is a more intense time, obviously, but really there's no difference between like a month ago when I was frustrated because my kids weren't
right
doing their homework versus now. It's just things are a little bit more intense. And it's always about us. It's an inside job. And how are we being with whatever challenge happens to be in front of you? Maybe it's because your kid's bathroom is a mess and you don't want it to be a mess. This is all an opportunity for us to see what energy are we bringing to the table. So the minute that we find ourselves triggered or mad or frustrated or out of control, it's an opportunity to come back, take a breath, get centered. I know like these are like frustrating or annoying advice.
It is,
yeah. But it's the truth. That's where we are right now. So when you find, you know, of course that this is going to be a challenging time. Everybody's cooped up in a small space. We are going to get frustrated at each other. So every time we get frustrated, how am I going to respond to this? How am I going to bring loving, kind energy to something that is really hard to do? So I'm going to move it over. Millie has a question, but she's got to bail. But I want to go to Jennifer because she spoke first, and whoever wants to go after her.
I can. Do you want me to answer that question for Millie real quick?
Well, Jennifer went first.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I didn't know the order.
Jennifer.
You can answer Millie's question first. Yeah. That's fine.
We'll get to Millie. Sure? She can listen to it if she bails.
Okay. So I guess along the lines of everything that you guys are talking about, I feel like I wake up in the morning and I see this big day ahead, and I think of all of the kind of suggestions you guys have made and then other people have made about, you know, how to fill your day and what to do. And I feel like I am not really doing anything. Like I feel like I'm just surviving. Mm. I feel like I'm just kind of going through like, okay, you know, I have to get the kids food and I have to clean up and I have to get them to do their jobs and things like that. But I don't feel like I even have the emotional or physical energy to do, like people are like, oh, organize your closets, learn a new language, you know, do all these things. And I feel like I'm just struggling to get through the day. Like right. It's such a departure from the normal. I know and that it's that way for all of us, but I think I have so much anxiety.
Hold on, it'll come back.
I think it's ours, so people can still hear.
Stomach, like, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, I'm scared. I'm not going to be able to handle it, and I'm not going to be able to do it. So I guess my question is, I guess it probably falls along the lines of what you were saying about giving yourself permission to just, as long as you're getting through the day, I feel like I wake up and I can't wait to get back in my bed at night. And I guess that's a little bit of depression too, you know, the social isolation. But right now, I guess I'm looking for you to tell me it's okay to just be surviving.
It's okay.
It's okay.
To just be surviving.
This is, there's an acceptance. I hear you shitting on yourself and what a colossal, and I do it too, but what a colossal waste of energy. I think your work, Jennifer, and mine is to accept the part of you that thinks that you should be doing something, because the minute that, you know, here's the should, and then here's like the resistance to the should, and you're not going to get anywhere. If you can somehow, and there's meditations out there of acceptance, and I'm sure you can find them yourself, or I'm happy to provide. But if you can accept the part of you that wants to, that feels like you should be doing something else, cleaning out closets, because, you know, you just said yesterday you want to clean out a bunch of cabinets.
Guess what? I didn't do it.
We didn't do it. So just go into some deep acceptance practice. And then for some reason, I keep thinking about Byron Katie right now. And I was trying to find what Zen Talk. We did a series of Zen Talks on Byron Katie, which is the work. And it's four questions, then turn around. And I'll put it in the show notes because there's a few specifically. The minute that we find ourselves triggered or frustrated or shooting on ourselves, it's an opportunity to ask these four questions and then do a turnaround. So I'm not going to go through them right now because it's already in, you know, we already have it in our archives, and I'll put it in the show notes here for you. But that's the first thing that came to me when you're talking is just accept the part of you that thinks you should be doing something and then be okay with not doing it.
And you know, Jen, my new spirit animal, and this is for everybody here, is Ma from Little House on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. Do you think Ma woke up and thought she needed to clean out some cabinets? Or do you think she was like, I need to keep my kids safe. I need to make sure I feed everybody. I need to make sure that, you know, I maybe sweep the floor so people aren't stepping on things or making sure there's no like animals around. And then I go to bed and I start over. And that's what I mean about we're so ingrained with all these things that we should be doing. And what was Ma's name? Did we decide it was Karen? Look it up. Will you look it up?
Ooh.
On Little House on the Prairie, was Ma, you know, was Ma's
call
name
Ma.
Karen?
Just call her Ma.
I would like to give her a name so I can be woman to woman with her. I think we should start watching Little House on the Prairie.
Somebody Googled Mom from Little House on the Prairie, put it in the chat box.
Yes. I mean, do you know how much crap happened to that family? And they just woke up and fed the pigs. Did they have pigs? I don't remember. But they did what they had to do, and that is survival. What we have ingrained into us is not only do I need to do what I need to do.
Caroline, sweetie.
Caroline, thank you. Caroline. I've been calling her Karen, and that's just not right.
Yeah.
Caroline.
This Zen Talk would have been a complete failure if I did that right.
It's important because she is probably younger than me. She has three girls. She's definitely younger than me. She has three daughters, so I really relate to her. And it was just about them, you know, doing what they needed to do. And she had to blow out the candles at night. It's just survival. And I feel like for all of us who are like, I need a structure around technology, I get it. But I am so grateful. That's where I depart from Little House on the Prairie. And I'm so glad that my girls have ways to connect to people and ways to watch a movie that makes them laugh and ways, because otherwise that's where stir crazy really could come in. And they have walked away from their screens being like, whoa, I need to like get away from them for a while. They're kind of learning through their own experience. Like my mom called yesterday and was like, her TV didn't work. And I wanted to like, she's in an assisted living place, so I can't go see her. And I'm like, oh my God, like if my mom doesn't have a TV, she's going to go stir crazy. I guess my point is Jen, just be Caroline from Little House on the Prairie. Like, pull up an episode, read a book, and see what that woman had to do.
And if there's ever a time in history to go easy on yourself,
yes,
I feel like this might be one of those times.
I love on our last Zen Parenting episode, which we did like five podcasts last week. That's why there isn't one up today. We'll do one in the next day or two. Don't worry. But we did so many in a short period of time. We talked about two things that you can do. One of them, I won't go deep into it, but one of them being Tonglen, which is the way that you can breathe in your fear and let it out with love. And the other one is really thinking about, and if you're me, maybe even vision boarding, how you want to reflect on yourself during this time. When you look back on this time in 6 months or in a year or in 5 years, how do you want to know that you responded in thinking you needed to be perfect and keep things normal and that you were exhausted and overwhelmed, or that you chilled, that you sat and watched a movie with your kids, that you slept a teeny bit longer if you could, because this will not, I know this feels like not truth right now, but it will not last forever. It won't. It doesn't.
No.
This too shall pass.
Everything is impermanent.
We get a lot of news that it's going to be longer or take longer, and it might, but it will pass. The blessing of being 48 years old is we've seen a lot. I'm 48. You guys are whatever age you are, but we've seen a lot of things. And, you know, we know. So.
All right. I'm going to move over. Hopefully that helps a little, Jennifer. I'm going to move over to Lisa P. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Comment.
Yeah. Well, I put my long response in there to Jennifer because it just kind of hit a chord, you know, with just trying to get through minute to minute. And I mentioned in the mail that my husband was there visiting his mother because she was accelerating and not going to remember him. So we had a trip planned for him to go and see her. And then while he was there, you know, just kind of exploded. So he got home on the day they did the lockdown. So luckily we got him back, but naturally we're trying in some ways to be very normal, and it's not normal. And, you know, he goes through his waves of tears and try not to watch too much news about Italy. But anyway, he's struggling and I'm trying to be really normal, and I haven't cried at all since. This is weird. It's happening now, but I guess that's what this is all about. So we're trying to just keep going, but he's so raw and edgy, and it's causes some tension in the home. We're all on top of each other. And I have two teenagers. I mentioned one of them last time. I have 15 and 17. So you're just trying to keep them going, but because of his state, and he's just like very edgy and angry and stuff, and I don't know how to do it because I'm also like protective of my own psyche and the kids, and I'm like, can you go in the basement? What can I do? How can I? I don't know what to do, so I'm just feeling a little trapped and want to be supported for my children and supportive for him, but I also am trying to keep them from the insanity, if that makes sense, you know? I mean, so that's not extra stressful. It's already stressful.
Mm. Absolutely.
Let me go first because
okay,
I think
please.
I totally hear all these different things that are going off in your brain, my kids, my husband, my myself. And I feel like it comes back to the basics, which is self-care. And I know it's hard to practice right now because there's a lot going on, but unless you're taking care of yourself, and whatever that means, taking a walk, taking doing a meditation in the morning, taking a breath the minute you feel triggered, like the minute that we're trying to like go outside and fix stuff without fixing ourselves, and it doesn't have to be like an hour walk. It could be a 3-minute walk around the block. But unless you're grounding yourself, Lisa, I feel like everything else is going to be not an exercise in futility, but just not very productive. So my invitation to you, as it is to myself and what we've been talking about on the podcast for 9 years, is the airline mask. Put your own mask on first so that you can be better equipped to help your kids and your husband.
And I would say, please, in your version of what normal means, put crying in there. I think that what normal means, if we're going to use that word, is that we're going to feel edgy and we're going to need to cry. And we're going to have, like, I've been having headaches, like it's going out of style. And that's just part of what's happening right now. That's just, I react very physically. I'm definitely a crier, and I think that's normal. Like, and so I'm going to ask all of you to expand your definition. And I don't like the word normal because it acts as if there's one way to be. So maybe we need a different word. Like, what's typical? Yeah, I like that, Todd. What's typical during this time? Crying, edginess. Todd and I just had an argument in the car yesterday about something dumb.
It was awesome.
But I needed to have the argument because I needed to be mad because Todd was not 6 feet from someone he was talking to, and it made me mad.
I saw a guy in the grocery store and we don't need to rehash the whole thing, but
I am not a confrontational person. And I walked up to both of them and I said, you are not social distancing. And then I walked away and I said, Todd, come here. And then I like was mad, and he's like, what? And I'm like, you must. Like, we are in the grocery store for like 20 minutes and let's stay away from people. And he was like, but I couldn't touch him. You know what you said? I didn't shake his hand.
I didn't shake his hand. If I wanted to, I couldn't touch him. I was definitely not 6 feet away. So it was somewhere between 6 feet and being in close contact. I felt like I was being safe, but once again,
we were like getting out the measuring stick. We were like, who's right here? My point is it was probably a dumb fight and I didn't need to make it, but that's how I feel right now. I'm edgy. I'm like, do what I say. You know what I mean? But I think that's normal. I really walked away from that and I apologized or did I? I'm sorry if I was too edgy.
You have not yet, sweetie.
I did in the car, remember?
Yeah, you probably did.
I'll do it again.
It was a long argument. Yeah. So there's a lot said and I forgot half of it.
But my point is that I'm not mad at myself. I think what we're having these expressions of grief, it's like expressions of tears and anger and frustration. And the more, this is why this is a good practice for overall life. This is like a really tight incubator-ish practice of life. And
the pressure cooker.
It's a pressure cooker. And how do we, like, you know, Lisa, this is, you should cry.
Yeah, and Emily's crying with you. Good. Yes, let's all cry.
Absolutely. And then you should say, this is exactly what should be happening. Not how do I stop crying?
No.
But how, thank God I'm crying, because if, you know, talking about empathy, let's cry. And I'm going to cry when I say this, and I'm going to just kind of hold. Let's cry for the people who are sick and the healthcare workers and the grocery store people. Like, I can't even, like, what they're doing. Like, I get to be in my house and they don't. So let's cry for them if we can't cry for ourselves. And let's cry for Italy and India. And let's have a good cry about it, because it's horrible. And then that's what I mean about education. We need to do that once a day, and we need to realize what's going on. And then
we go back to our structure of drink water, keep going, be Carolyn from Little House on the Prairie, wake up, survive, feed people, and keep going. I remember my mom went through a depression when I was 10 years old. And she couldn't do anything. She couldn't drive. She couldn't do anything. And I remember she said what turned her around like a year later was she would just put her feet on the floor and say, I'm just going to get up and go to the bathroom. And then I'm just going to keep moving. And I'm just, even if I'm walking in a daze, I'm just going to keep moving. And you guys know what that turns into. You just keep moving and you do the next thing. And then you have the next conversation. And that's what we have to do. And we're all parents here, so we have to keep going. But when we break down and cry, we say, yes, this is what I need to do too. And so it's room for all of it.
Well, and you know, this is something I teach. I don't necessarily am that good at practicing it. That's something I'm actually working on as far as emoting. And if we're stuffing down our feelings, and Lisa just was brave enough to shed tears as you were, sweetie, if we don't do that, things get stuck and things get turned upside down and there's just not any room. When you cry, it creates, or when you express joy or when you express fear, like all these things need to come out and be expressed, hopefully physically or through, you know, screaming in a field down the block from where you live. If you are not figuring out a way to express those and emote that, then things get stuck. If you do that, it creates space for other things to show up.
It allows you to keep moving. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? I'm not saying then you can live in joy and happiness. That's not what this time is about. I mean, I want you to feel joy. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying have humor, have laughter, have connection. But you don't, this, okay. You know how we have Maslow's hierarchy of needs? I don't know if you guys know Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but basically—
It's my favorite hierarchy, Maslow's.
Look it up, or someone put a link or something, because basically at the very bottom level is survival. And at the very top level is self-actualization. And us in the United States of America have been given a lot of flexibility and ability to have some self-actualization. Those of us who have been able to work and those of us who have been able to maintain a home and have children, we have been given space to self-actualize, which is something that I've based my whole life around, really. But right now is not all about self-actualization.
Yeah, right.
Right now in the hierarchy of needs, we are at a different place. We are in survival and some other places in there. And we have some self-actualized moments. We can kind of vacillate through it like we do with grief. I'm not saying you have to stay on the lowest realm, but just know that when you're like, Jen, I feel like I'm surviving. Yes. And then you'll have moments of self-actualization. Fine. And then you'll have moments of, you know, I want to be altruistic. Great. And then you'll have moments of fear and you go take all the toilet paper. I don't want to say fine. That's not fine. Leave the toilet paper. But I understand.
But take enough for yourself.
But get enough for yourself. Todd bought something called dude wipes yesterday. What are dude wipes?
I don't know. It was the only thing on the shelf. So I grabbed them. Let's see what's going on here.
There's no toilet paper.
Girls cannot use these things. There's
only
no
dudes.
Way. No way.
Only dudes can use these wipes. And I got, but I want to check it out and see what it is.
Yeah,
anyway,
let us know how it goes.
I'm
sweetie.
Buying Kleenex as toilet paper. Do what you got to do. My point is this is correct.
Lisa has a bidet. That's what I need.
Lisa. See, Lisa's ahead of us. Bidet sales are going wild. Everybody wants a bidet.
Yeah.
And I have a few girlfriends who have them and they're laughing at me because they're like, I told you, I just thought it was kind of not weird, but just, I was
different.
Like, why would I get
a
bidet?
It's not common in our culture.
I know. So anyway, so all of the above and you know what? I have another recommendation for those of you who
are
creative.
Is it about wiping your butt?
No.
Oh, okay.
Make a small little, either virtual, like on your screen or your computer, or like me, I like to use, you know, glue, and make a little virtual like board or real board, vision board of people that inspire you. Or remember, for those who came to my workshop at the conference, like your internal structure, like who do you look to? Like right now, like I went from looking to Oprah and Maya Angelou to looking at Caroline from Little House on the Prairie. Like you can be all over the board, but have that in you. Create those internal guidance systems and then have
times when you're like, I'm going to emote like the best of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it all go. Who's your emoting spirit animal?
Well, right now is like a time. There's so many virtual coaching opportunities. Like I'm just trying to like Lisa, it sounds like she doesn't have a lot of space right now, but
yeah,
you could probably get on some virtual coaching. And right here is a place for that. But if there's something one-on-one, there's obviously opportunities to do something like that. So I want to real quickly, even though I'm catching her off guard, Kelsey, are you okay with me coming to you? I just want to see how you're doing. There she is. Last week you jumped on and you did some of your own emoting and you're 37 weeks pregnant. Now you're 38. I just wanted to see.
Friday I'll be. Can you hear me with these on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I'll be 38 weeks on Friday. I'm doing okay. I was just writing to Jennifer that I'm really just trying to keep my expectations really low. And I got a little bit of cooking done. I've been trying to do a lot of cooking to have things in the freezer for after baby comes. So, but the freezers are like kind of full. So, just trying to rest as much as I can and get outside when I can and keep the to-do list very, very short. You know, and I have a 5-year-old who's home from school, so we do a little bit of stuff. But thank you for checking in. I really appreciate that. I'm sitting on my exercise ball.
I can see that. All right, yeah. So we're going to move over to Millie Shee.
Hi, Millie.
What's up?
Hey, seriously, I feel like my issue is so not important.
Big. You're not alone. Someone will want it.
All of the above, and you know, love to all of you because I can barely handle it here. Okay, I'm gonna start crying, and this is not even. I'm not crying about the issue I'm about to talk about. It's just everything. I would love for all of us, of course, to have the connection time and you know all this. I have 3 kids, all 3 very different, all 3 refusing almost everything.
Right.
Okay. So my question that I had written to you guys privately was the 13-year-old, the teenager. Well, actually, one of the 8-year-olds as well. Do not want to go outside. I just want us to get fresh air, to get outside, take a walk around the block while we still can, because I feel like we're about to get to a lockdown phase where we can't even go outside. I just want us to get outside to get fresh air. So I tried to do our family values are, you know, connection, you know, outside time. I haven't gotten to water yet, but I'm going to have to impose that too. You know, right now it's just connection and outside time because we're inside the entire day. I cannot get this teenager nor one of the 8-year-olds to go outside. I'm not sure what other motivating things to say other than get fresh air or I'm running out of, and I don't want to, I said, I didn't want to dangle like some reward at the end of it. You know, you'll get the screen time in order, because that's what the teenager is being. That's what she's looking for.
Yeah.
She will only do something like just now. I had her do jumping jacks or exercise for 15 minutes. She's like, can I watch? I've done most of my schoolwork. Okay. She has. Yeah. And she's getting way more screen time, right? All of us, but like get some exercise done. But see, again, that was I had to dangle the screen time. Anyway, in order to get her to get physical.
So, yeah.
Any other ideas would be appreciated.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ted.
Techniques that you already know about that you've already probably tried, Millie, but maybe not everybody has. Kathy always talks about first this, then that. So it's weird. Like there's a part of me that's like, yeah, you don't want to like bribe your kids, but you can say, first we're going to do this, then we're going to do that. So it's not like what you're doing, it's how you're doing it. And you've probably already tried this, Millie. And my guess is it probably hasn't worked, but that's the one thing. And then, you know, your daughter is going to survive if she doesn't go outside. That it's okay. I mean, it's not desirable, but she's not going to die.
Well, it'll take some of the fear out of it. I think it's like letting some air out of the balloon. Like what I have been doing, Millie, is just opening the doors and the windows a lot. Like, you know, even on the day it snowed, I had the bedroom window open and, you know, where Todd and I sleep. Hey, Sky, what are some ways, because you're 12, what are some ways we can motivate kids your age to go outside, like without sounding annoying?
She has no idea.
She says, I don't know. So
thanks for contributing.
That's what we got. No, the other thing I was going to say was maybe like if you have a front patio, maybe make it less about moving. You know, it's kind of like when we're suggesting something to our kids and it sounds like something they have to do, they don't want to do it. They're going to push against it. But what if it was, let's sit on the front porch and like you have, and again, I'm not trying to motivate through food and make food like the carrot, but you have like dinner out on the front porch. You have like snacks or like a bowl or something of like, or popsicles on the front porch, or not to be like, you get a popsicle if you come outside, but we're having popsicles on the front porch, like making it a fun, you know, thing. And then they can go in, but then they got a little, you're not trying to, because sometimes we still get into that thing of do this because I'm asking you to versus here's something we're going to do. And maybe find yourself, Millie, sitting on the front porch. And I know this may, you know, you may say no, they won't, but maybe they'd come join you or just be like, Mom, what are you doing? You'd say, I'm just getting some fresh air. So they see it as getting fresh air as not as take a walk, exercise, physical activity. Maybe for the younger boys, I don't know if your 13-year-old will be into this. I think Sky would probably, but the whole thing that people are doing chalk on their sidewalks and like writing things on their sidewalks, maybe have them run across the street and tape a picture or something to a neighbor's window that says thinking of you, like, and don't do it like this is my plot to get them to move.
Not the what, it's the how.
It's just like ideas. And then if we can't get our kids to do something, but we know fresh air is important, then let's just go get it ourselves.
Yeah, just practice it.
You just do it. And just sit out on the front porch or on the back porch or open the windows and demonstrate just through getting the air. Because to Todd's point, they will be fine in the house. I know it's better to be outside, but it's not something that you have to, it's not like if they don't go outside, A, B, and C will happen. It'll be fine.
I just looked at my vision board just now because I made this vision board after I did this Michael Singer course. And I cut out this quote, and I think it's applicable to this situation and probably to all. The strongest position you can possibly be in is complete surrender, which is a total paradox. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But the minute that you surrender and you accept the fact that your teenager is not going to go outside, it's probably more likely that your teenager is going to go outside. So just, and you know,
especially if it's not your idea.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to win. And I know it's a stupid game.
I know. And they could feel your need. Yeah. I know my girls can feel when I want them to do something.
I can feel it.
But if I surrender to it, I think it's more likely. So, Millie, any comments? And then we'll go into Nikki.
No, I think you're good at doing certain activities like snacks or even a meal outside. That's a great idea. But I think surrendering, I feel like that's kind of all doing these days because nobody is doing anything that they're supposed to be doing, you know?
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, we'll see what happens in third grade when you get there and can't write. But I'm like, whatever. I don't think you'll be homeless eventually, you know?
Exactly. And Millie, even that thought of they're going to get back to school and fail is not true because all kids are going through this. So the level of education is going to be different and it is going to correspond to what's happening now. So we keep trying to keep our kids at a certain level that we expect them to be at, not taking into account that this hasn't happened in hundreds of years. Everything is going to be different. Travel is going to be different. The school is going to be different. And as uncomfortable as that is, it lessens the pressure we feel to maintain the normal. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I want to say two things. One is I think there's levels of surrender. I think, Millie, some of your actions have shown that you're surrendering, like, okay, whatever. But I think that there's a deeper, like, honest surrender. Like, can you really say that you don't care that your daughter's going outside? My guess is no, otherwise you wouldn't be asking that question. So I feel like there's levels to it. It's one thing for the actions to happen. It's another thing for it to honestly and authentically from your heart-centered place, that you surrender, where you truly don't care if she goes outside. And anybody on this call can have their insert their own example of what they're frustrated by. So I'm just using Millie as an example, and I could use the same example with some of my stuff. But it makes me, so Michael Singer has these three 10-minute videos, and I'm going to post them in the show notes. And if anybody wants to do it, it's kind of like the teaser to go into this deeper 8-session, hour long, it's 8 hours of material. And I took it last January and it knocked my socks off. But these three 10-minute videos is free, and I can send it to you. And if you really like it, let me know. And then maybe we could even have a Zen talk, a miniature Zen talk, just about those three sessions, because I really do feel like it will reframe some of these things that we're kind of getting frustrated about.
You said these free 10-minute sessions are free.
Three free 10-minute sessions. And it says Michael Singer sitting in a lotus position, and he is like a kind of a Yoda type figure, at least to me he is. And it'd be fun to maybe have a conversation with all of you about these three 10-minute videos. So I'll put that in the show notes. If you're interested, shoot me an email at todd@zenparentingradio.com. Now, I'm going to mute Millie. Thanks, Millie. And then I'm going to go over to Nikki if I can find her. There she is. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Just on that schooling thing, Millie, my daughter's school has got a cluster of cases within the teachers. Mm. So everyone's, the whole country's in lockdown, but the school kids and the teachers are all in self-isolation, full isolation. And because they said everyone's a contact within that cluster. And they're just saying, we all just need to get well. And I think that's going to happen in a whole lot of different schools. So, yeah, they just said, look, our teachers are unwell and they've got families and they can't teach right now. Mm. And we just need to be. And that's the email we got yesterday. So, yeah, that was just what that is. What I am struggling with is just I am working for companies, and they're little companies like 15 people, and their survival is weighing really heavily on me. And I just feel like if I don't act fast and put all my energy into it, then their survival is at risk. And my husband's sort of the same with his clients. And so we're both working. We're luckily, like you, being able to work from home, but it's that anxiety of and that adrenaline of needing to work hard and fast all day. And then both of us are just waking up every couple of hours through the night, and it's sort of a relief when it's morning so we can get up and work again. Mm. And yeah, it's just, it's not... They're not our companies, but we're here, you know? So it's,
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So let me see if I can just understand. So it sounds like you are feeling the weight, not just of what's going on in your specific situation, but other people's potential hardships. Is that
and
what?
And her impact on their hardship.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I have the skills to help them plan and survive.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's a lot because every day it gets a new scenario that you've got to plan for.
So are you feeling overwhelmed because the amount of people that need your support right now, or you wish that you can help a lot more, or I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
I'm just struggling with the anxiety of feeling responsible for 15 people's ability to earn a living.
Does that show up as if you're not good, if you don't do a good enough job, then these 15 people might
not survive?
Is that
I don't put everything of my own aside and focus on them. Like, I think I'm handling the anxiety of work by giving them everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a spirit animal suggestion for you, Nikki. Think about a nurse or a doctor right now. And think about that if a nurse or a doctor, and maybe some of you are in this, you know, situation where you are medical professionals, and if they were saying, I have to put myself at risk to make sure I help other people, that wouldn't be a good idea at all. I have to, that I'm having this overall, even though they are having anxiety and we can't tell them to not, that they know that if they don't figure out a way to stop work at a certain time or to take breaks or to have, you know, other people come in for them or just to go to bed at a decent time, that actually more people will get sick and not survive. And it's the same for you in a different capacity. You can't be on 24/7 helping people. You can't. It's impossible. You have to carve out in your day, in your situation, these are my work hours. This is when I'm going to help people. And then starting at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., whatever your time is, I have to be done for the day. And I will start again in the morning. And in normal situations, maybe, or more typical situations, we can say, oh, just work when you can or whatever. You have to go off shift, just like a nurse or a doctor would. You have to go off shift. And that can recalibrate you and give you the energy to do what you need to do the next day. I know that you will say, but I could do this and I could do this, as could a nurse or a doctor or a government. Like, our governor needs to sleep. Your governor needs to sleep. Could the governor be doing more? Yes, but they have to sleep and eat, and so do you. So kind of look at how you would talk to other people in professions where they really are helping people with survival and what you would tell them. And then you have to, I'm not saying your anxiety levels will necessarily go away, but maybe you can at least align yourself with those on the front lines like you.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I keep thinking of the difference between circle of control versus circle of influence. And I feel like, Nikki, you have an influence on those 15 workers, but you really don't have control. So in other words, you by yourself cannot save them. You can support them and help them. But I feel like sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves, like, if I don't do this, then everything will go to shit.
That's not true.
And that's simply not true. You have an influence over those people, but I would just maybe say, just check your perspective a little bit about on that, because there are other people that are probably going to help these 15 members that you're talking about. They can help themselves. Human beings are really resilient and resourceful people, and you are not their savior. You are a part. You are a part of the support team. So I don't know if that makes sense, but any thoughts?
Yeah, because I work in marketing and comms, I've always taken a company and it becomes a person for me. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like the death of a person.
Yeah. I know
that sounds weird.
No. That's your heart. But, that's the beauty of you. And that is not something you need to change. You don't need to change your heart. What you have to do is include yourself in your heart, and that you also need time off in whatever. And again, it may not even be time off. It may be making dinner and doing things for other people at home, but you need to step away from all of these companies that are like people to you, and know that that's in the best interest of the structure, is that you will be able to maintain these people better if you can step away at times, like as a therapist, or any kind of, you know, that's what you have to do. Of course, if a therapist was working 24/7, they could help more people, one an hour, right? But they can't do that. That's impossible. So, hi girls, how was it?
Oh, good. And in addition to that, as we kind of close shop, Nikki, if I were going to come to you with the exact same problem, what advice would you give to me? And I'm just curious if it would be the same thing as what you're telling yourself.
Yeah. I mean, what I often say to my people I work with and everything, I always make that joke that we're not saving babies, so we need to keep it in perspective.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if that translates.
Oh, it does. I know. I mean, I do that all the time. That's kind of what I mean. That's like why I have to have these visions of other people who are doing their thing, that what we are doing in our families or our communities or in this virtual community is important, but we're not frontline workers. I'm not in Syria. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, there's some perspective that we can take that can give us a sense. And even people who are working in Syria trying to help people survive, they still need a break too. You know, it really translates to everybody.
Well, it's so funny because I guess two things, hopefully I can remember them both. One is there's so many people in the world that would change places with us.
Right now.
Right now. Like all these problems we're having, like give me some of those problems. And I'm not talking to Nikki anymore. I'm talking to all of us. And then there's another part of me that's like, you know, I love this community and Kathy and I get so much from being a vehicle to bring people together from all over the world to kind of support one another. And there's a part of me, it's like, we should do a Zen Talk every single day because this is our community. We need to help them and blah, blah, blah. But there is a space in between that and us not showing up at all because Kathy and I need to take care of ourselves. And if we did
and our family and my mom and his dad,
if we did a Zen Talk every day, it would be at the detriment to our well-being. Mm-hmm. So even with this as kind of a metaphor, like we need to find that tricky balance. Having said that, I do hope we can get maybe one more Zen Talk in before the end of the week.
Sure.
But I'm not even going to promise it right now because our lives might be like, you know what? It doesn't, we need to keep giving back to.
Well, and even that for Todd and I know all of you who do work or kids work, you know, we like structure, like this is due on this day and this is due on this day. That doesn't really apply as much anymore either. We can have the best, you know, laid plans. And if they don't work out, then we're back in survival mode and that's okay. I'm not saying drop the ball on people. I'm saying give yourself a break. That like yesterday, Todd and I had a really long day. We didn't get home until 6 and we're like, oh, we usually put a podcast out on Tuesday. Well, we did 5 podcasts last week. Let's give ourselves a break and we'll do it later. It's okay. And yes, people will be like, but Tuesday. And we're like, it's a different time. Like we're all kind of doing the best we can. And we can, like I said, I kind of feel like some of this breathing room that we're creating in our lives could be helpful in the long run.
Yeah.
And one more thing about, for those of you on the Facebook page,
we
created, obviously use it, but we created this thing for pen pals. For those of you who have kids who are a little older or younger, and they want to have someone to write to during this time, like someone reaching out and saying hello. I already partnered a bunch of people up and hopefully you've sent a letter, or at least one way a letter has started. And if anybody listening is like, oh, I want my kids to have a pen pal or my kid wants to be a pen pal, just tell me on the Facebook page because maybe we'll find new partners.
So last in closing, I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody who's on this call with us right now. So goodbye to Millie, to Dawn, to Kristen, to Emily, to Nikki, to Jolene, to Lisa, to Mary Jo, to Lindsay, to Jennifer, to Pogbear, to Kelsey, Anita, Carney, Kimberly, Shirley, Karen, Chesa. Is that how you pronounce her name? Chesa. Sorry if I screwed that up, Chesa. Diane, Mimi, and Alicia. So hopefully we'll be back by the end of the week.
Yeah.
No promises,
and
but we'll figure
we'll
it out.
We'll try. And then answer, if you have questions, put them on the Facebook page or email us. Like we can communicate in lots of different ways. So we're here for you. We love you.
All right. Keep trucking, everybody. Adios.
All righty. I'm going to have some lunch.